Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Oh, it's good to be back. Welcome in episode 72 of Intentional Grounding. My name is Adam Hogue. Adam Johns is here as well as we kind of patchwork this thing in a busy week. Johnsy's on the phone from Hallis Hall as we record. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. I am in the old Hallis Hall closet here where we have three chairs, a dolly, and a blanket over the door.
Memories. Good memories. Many Intentional Grounding episodes recorded inside that closet. None lately, though. So I'm glad you're there. And Mike Jacobson's in the house. I want to give him a shout-out because we love that open that he put together for us this season. And this is the first time we actually been able to talk to him. So say hello to the people, Mike.
Thank you very much, buddy.
You know what? Time out. I'm taking exception to it. Every time I hear it, I got to be called an a-hole. it's starting to, you know, I was warm to it at first, but it's been a long season. We're all 3-10. We're all day-to-day. Starting to hurt me a little bit, Mike. Starting to hurt.
No, it was fun putting it together. I'm glad you guys liked it. Yeah, man, it's and the Hard Knocks was your idea, the theme song.
Yeah, I like the music. But you did everything else. And it's Jerry Angelo calling you an a-hole, Adam. It's not Mike. It's
not
me.
That's Jerry Angelo?
It is, right, Mike?
That's Jerry Angelo. He was telling a story on Cap'n Hall when Cap'n Hall, rest in peace, was still around. He was telling the story about when he was about to draft Tommy Harris, and he was just laying on a couch, sitting in the room, and he was like, what an a-hole. Just laying there. We're about to draft him. That's where it came from.
Wow. I did not know that. Now I feel better about being called an a-hole.
I'm glad we have some context now to that, too, because I didn't really know the story either. That's good. All right. Well, we love you, Mike. Adam, hope you're feeling better. We are a day delayed on this for a couple reasons. Johnsy had the flu. I've been playing catch-up after missing last week, and thanks to Mark Carmen for filling in for two episodes last week as I was attending to my family. Some of you, actually, I've heard from a ton of Intentional Grounding listeners, and thank you so much for not only being loyal listeners, but reaching out and giving my family your support and love. We felt that support. And we appreciate it. My son had heart surgery, for those that didn't know. You might have read about it on social media, heard about it. But he's doing much better. He's home. It was a tough week, but a couple pain meds, and he's running around the house like nothing ever happened. It's incredible. So thanks to Carm for filling in. I'm glad you guys were able to keep the podcast going while I was gone. And we're kind of getting back in the swing of things here a little bit. So, and thanks to you, Adam, too, for all your support. From your family as well.
You know, I think I'm sick because I had to do two podcasts with Mark Carmen, but it's okay there, Adam. You know what? I'm just so happy that things turned out so well for your son there. I mean, it's family first, right? It's not really a cliche. It's a way to view life, I think, and so happy everything turned out for you guys.
Well, it was really cool hearing from so many of our listeners on Twitter and Facebook throughout the week, and it was very uplifting. So we know we have loyal listeners, and that's why I want to get back into this thing and give you your podcast, hopefully not too late here, but we need to dive into what's going on. So Get the particulars out of the way. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. I actually have a new column up, too, on a lot of what we've been talking about. What we're going to talk about here, too, momentarily, which was these reports that were flying in while I was sitting in a hospital room trying to figure out what the heck's going on with Vic Fangio and Football Czars and Bill Polian and all this crap. You can also find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. So, Adam, you were there. You tell me what the hell was going on, because this is crazy to me.
Well, you picked a great week to miss, or several days to miss, with, let's call it mayhem, let's call it rumor mongering. You know, this is what happens when you have a football team that's 3-10. Losing upon losing. I think a lot of media members, I think in general, are kind of bewildered by this whole season. I think some media members don't really like John Fox in particular. So I think that's where you're at. Where there's smoke, you know, there's a little fire somewhere, you know. Maybe someone's talking who's loosely affiliated for the organization. Maybe whatever's going on in these league circles, maybe it's just gossip. I hear a lot of it's just gossip, right? You know, whether that becomes reality at all, that remains to be seen. But I think you nailed it in your column. You actually took an idea away from me. I was kind of leaning towards doing that for my Sunday column, but we'll steer back towards Alshad Jeff now.
You can still write it.
You know, it's okay. You said it so well. You said it so well. You know, I think people forget what the overall context of what this season was supposed to be about. You know, no one expected them to go to 10-6, 12-4, 11-5, you know, go to the playoffs. I mean, expectations were low to begin with. Yes, 3-10 may be below that, but look, this is a rebuild going on here. I think everybody knew it, who is paid by this Bears organization, from, you know, Ryan Pace on down to John Fox, the coordinator. I think Vic Fangio put it very candidly the other day when he kind of criticized what he inherited here. This was a major rebuild, a major retooling was needed here at Hallis Hall, and this wasn't going to be a two-year fix. This is what was going to happen. I think everybody who makes the decisions here knew this was kind of in the works. Now, could they be a couple wins better than 3-10? Yes. But you put it right. This is going to require patience. This is not something you need to blow up after 2 years.
Yeah, and I think first and foremost, the biggest thing, if the reports about some kind of rift between John Fox and Vic Fangio are true, which I'm not convinced they are, maybe there's something going on there. Hopefully it's something they can patch up. And if you're Ryan Pace, to me, that's the number one thing on your plate, fixing that, if there is something to be fixed there. Because the progress that is most evident with this team is on defense, where they've gone from, and these were the numbers I used in my column. I'm not going to read the whole column there. You can go on WGNRadio.com/Bears to read it. But the numbers to kind of support that progress is being made is that Vic Fangio's defense currently ranks 8th in the league, allowing just 5.1 yards per play. This is up from 5.7, or down from 5.7 yards per play last year when the Bears ranked 25th. And it's down from 2014 when one of the worst Bears defenses we've ever seen took the field, and they were at 6 yards per play, allowing 6 yards per play. That ranked 30th. So they've gone from 30th to now 8th in the league in terms of what they're allowing per play under Vic Fangio. That shows some progress. So you cannot lose Vic Fangio. Now, if someone wants to hire him as a head coach, then he has every right in the world to move on and go do that. But if he's just moving on because they're not seeing eye to eye, you got to fix that. That doesn't make any sense to me. He should be the most valued coach in this organization. And then the other thing I addressed is this idea of bringing somebody else into the front office that could potentially undermine Ryan Pace's authority makes absolutely no sense to me, because this guy is actually doing a pretty good job. There's actually numbers to support the offense getting better too, which John Fox alluded to the other day. And before your head explodes, that is something that has actually happened, because they're also eighth in yards per play offensively, which I think surprises a lot of people because they haven't been able to get in the end zone. And ultimately, you do have to get in the end zone. You do have to score points. They haven't scored points. They haven't converted yards into points. So that's why they're 3-10. But despite losing three quarterbacks, their number one pick from a year ago, their number one tight end, their Pro Bowl left guard, this team still has been able to move the football for most of the season, and I think that's getting lost on some people. There is progress being made. A lot of that is due to Ryan Pace and the good job he's done in 2 years, turning what I put in my column as nothing into something. You need to give this guy more patience. You can't undermine his authority. The time to change the structure of this front office was 2 years ago, when you hired Ryan Pace. They chose not to do that. They chose not to hire Chris Ballard, who wanted to shake things up in the front office. So to do that now, when things are actually going well and you should be patient, makes no sense to me.
You know, I've kind of, a lot of people like to criticize the McCaskies for what's going on here. And probably, look, I haven't covered this team forever. I'm not as old as some people are in this market, if that makes sense, the age of myself. But, you know, for speaking of George McCaskey's run, that's what I've covered, right? Since George McCaskey has taken over, he has been very hands-off with football operations. Ted Phillips has been very hands-off with football operations, right? Phil Emery had the full say. Ryan Pace has a full say. So I've withheld criticism of the McCaskies. But if they were to bring in a Bill Polian, if they were to bring in a Charlie Cassidy or somebody now 2 years in the Ryan Pace regime to really start pointing fingers at Ryan Pace, what he is doing, then I think, to me, from my perspective, the whole door swings open criticizing them, because they've become, that would signal just how delinquent they are in their thinking. But it's just not true yet. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Ryan Pace deserves more time. George McCaskey is actually on record multiple times saying that he's going to be patient with Ryan Pace. I think they've been very forthright in their plans when revealing them to George McCaskey, so I think he knows what's actually in the works. But if they were to panic and bring in a Polian, or bring in a Corsi back, or bring in a Charlie Cassidy, then I'll start pointing a lot of fingers at the dysfunction starting at the top with the McCaskey. But right now, in terms of the George McCaskey role, which is all I'm really familiar with here in covering this team so closely, he's given his GMs the full go of things in football operations. I mean, Todd Phillips may be signing some checks, but he is approving everything they put in front of him. So, I don't know. This whole Vic Fangio thing, and I get it why it becomes such a hot topic of conversation, because of Vic Fangio's name and John Fox's name and things like that. But, look, they know what they came in to do. They know this wasn't going to be a two-year fix. The idea that there is some type of issues with how Vic Fangio wants to run a 3-4 defense, even though Ryan Pace is building him a 3-4 defense, and John Fox has a history of just letting his coaches coach, it just seems type, you know, it just doesn't seem right to me, some of the stories that are going on here. I mean, John Fox, again, has a history of letting his coaches do their own thing, and that applies to Vic Fangio. Yes, John Fox has an overarching influence on things here at Hallisaw, but Vic Fangio, that's still his defense, and it's working, so I don't know why things are going to be so convoluted all of a sudden. But, hey, this is what happens, again, when you're 3-10. Yep. This is what happens when you're losing. When you're having another losing season, you're not making the playoffs again. That's just part of, I guess, the NFL culture now. I mean, this is it.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think it's going to be a busy January for this organization. I think it's in their best interest to actually have a quiet January. I don't think a lot of changes should be made. You want to look at the offense coordinator, maybe, but...
But even him, he's hard to truly evaluate.
I agree. The numbers I just gave you, I mean, it shows that despite all these guys on IR and losing all these pieces, and let's not forget they also got rid of Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett, There's actually been progress on offense too. And don't you got to give some of Matt Barkley's success and the way Brian Hoyer came in and moved the football actually put some of the, gives Dow Loggins some credit for that?
Right. So what's the number one criticism of Dow Loggins? His play calling, right?
Why not giving the running back the ball, which I think is fair sometimes.
It's the easiest argument out there. But just all you got to do is watch the film. The Detroit Lions game is a perfect example. You have these two long runs and you think everything's working glowingly, right? But outside those two long runs, the guy had 27 yards on 11 carries. They had eight guys in the box. No one is afraid of the Bears wide receivers right now. Sure, Alshon Jeffrey may change some things, right? But they'll man you up outside, they'll load up the box, and they're going to stop Jordan Howard. The Green Bay Packers are going to do it this weekend. They're going to crowd the box. So what do you do? I mean, you have to pass. You have to put some fear into the other team that you have some options out there at receiver, that Matt Barkley can move the ball through the air. And look, I get it. Jordan Howard's your best weapon. I get it. He makes all the big plays right now for the Bears. But look, he's still a rookie. He's still going to surpass 1,000 yards. The idea that he should be getting 25 carries when they're loading the box with eight guys just seems, look, he's going to be stopped more times than he breaks them loose. It's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So we'll see how it all shakes out. It should be a quiet January, but some people think it won't be. So we'll see. A couple more games to get to first. Oh, and one last note on the Ryan Pace and what I mentioned with which has been well documented at this point and reiterated to me actually just this week with how Chris Ballard, the Chiefs director of football operations, was one of the finalists for the GM job. We knew that 2 years ago, and it was reported shortly after. And like I said, it kind of confirmed to me again this week that he wanted to shake things up, and maybe the two sides weren't seeing eye to eye on all that. Well, I had a source tell me this week that actually Ryan Pace has made a lot of those changes anyway. And let's remember, isn't he hired like 30-plus people? And he's made a lot of changes underneath him. Now, I think maybe some of the other changes that maybe Chris Ballard was talking about were kind of higher up. But Pace also did bring in Josh Lucas as his director of player personnel, which was a position that didn't previously exist under the Bears structure. So the point there is a lot of changes have been made anyway. There's been a lot of money invested in what Ryan Pace has wanted to do. The drafting has been pretty solid. I really think the only thing you can take a hard look at is maybe some of the issues the Bears have had with injuries, but every team has had a rash of injuries. It's been a problem in the NFL the last few years. So, again, the point there is to blow all that up or to bring someone else in to further change all that after the progress that's been made in 2 years, it just seems counterproductive.
You become the Browns. You become the Bills, who look like they're going to fire Rex Ryan. I think they'd be on to their sixth coach since 2009. That type of look, I don't know if you want to have a Gus Bradley situation or if you want to keep giving this guy a chance after chance after chance. But at least there's been signs of some core players emerging under Ryan Pace in two draft classes. And he said it himself. It may take 3 or 4 draft classes to really right this ship, right? So patience, it's a hard thing to get used to in this NFL world, but for an organization that was so thin roster-wise, it's going to require it. It's going to take time. They're not going to buy their way out of this mess like Phil Emery tried to do. They want to build it the right way. It's a rebuild. It's what it is.
Yep, it is. And what this team needs is another year of talent to be infused into this roster, not to blow it all up again. I think we all agree on that. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how the organization feels about it. But I think we're on the same page right now. All right, let's dive into what's happening Sunday at Soldier Field. The Green Bay Packers come to town. The Bears are a 5.5-point underdog at home. This was 6.5, I think, when I emailed you the lines a couple days ago, Adam. So this has gone down in the Bears' favor. Noon game Sunday on Fox. It's going to be cold. It's going to – and actually, oh, I forgot to mention, this is episode 72, which is the William Refrigerator Perry episode. Very fitting, right, for a game where the high temperature, I think, is going to be -2, or at least that's the forecast right now.
Hey, I'm going to be eating my hot dog to the warm press box, Adam, so I'm not too worried about the weather right now.
We need unlimited hot dogs and unlimited coffee.
Get that digestion warmth in the belly going, if you know what I mean, you know?
Bring your long johns, because it gets cold up against the windows.
Yes, it actually does.
It does.
I'm not going to complain about that. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see the crowd. This is a Bears-Packer game, but, man, I mean, you couldn't pay me to sit in the stands. You could pay me to sit in the press box, but I don't know about sitting in the stands in the cold for this one. It's going to be a factor. It's going to be a factor for the players as well. It's been a quiet week, news-wise, compared to last week at least, so most of the talk at House Hall the last couple of days has been about wearing sleeves or not wearing sleeves and dealing with the cold weather. Both teams are going to have to deal with it. But let's talk about the dynamics of this football game, a very important game for the Packers, which are in a situation where they're behind Detroit. They basically, you know, really need to win out, and that could set up a potential awesome Week 17 game between the Packers and Lions if that happens. So this is a very meaningful game for the Packers, but at the same time, I think you have a Bears team that's showing they're competitive, full of players that are trying to prove themselves, and this is a rivalry game. So I'm interested to see how this thing plays out.
My biggest question, if I could start, is what is Alshon Jeffrey? I guess just kind of a big picture with a little picture emphasis here is what is he going to be starting this week? He has missed, of course, 4 weeks. He's back in the active roster after being suspended for his PED violation. What is he going to be? And does it really even matter, if you know what I'm saying? So he's going to be called the Packers. Of course, he's going to be fired up as much as he can when it's -2 out. But what does this mean to him? What does this game, this rivalry game, mean to him? What is he going to do in it? And what is he going to be for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you think he'd be motivated because it's in his best interest to put together three solid football games.
But does that even matter, though? Like, shouldn't the evaluation, shouldn't that already be in? Say he goes off for three consecutive 100-yard games. So what, right? Shouldn't the Bears already know what he is at this point?
I think the Bears do. Where I think these three games can maybe sway things is maybe other teams. Maybe other teams are looking at this situation going, well, he's not dependable, and, you know, he's kind of good. He puts together some good games, but all of a sudden, if he goes off for these last three games, that could get the attention from other teams.
And drive up his price.
Right. That affects the market and maybe forces the Bears into another franchise tag, which rarely happens, but I think should be on the table. I mean, I know it's a lot of money, $17.5 million, but
salary cap's going up $10 million, or at least expected to be, which is, well, it helps the Bears and it makes other teams kind of flush with cash too.
And if you get rid of Jay Cutler, you have even more money. So, you know, to invest, what's the difference? I mean, where are we talking? If they do a long-term deal, we're talking probably $12 million a year anyway. So an extra $5.5 million for next season to give you another chance to see if he can be dependable without PEDs, to play a full 16-game schedule, which unfortunately, I mean, none of these questions that we had in the offseason have been answered fully by Alshon Jeffrey, except for the fact that he's still clearly the far and away the best wide receiver this team has. Like, they still need him.
This is kind of where I'm going with my column for Sunday, too. And here's, if you just look at the Bears roster, right, especially at the receiver position, you have Kevin White, lots of question marks about him, right? He's got a bunch of metal in his leg now. Can he be what they thought he was going to be when they drafted him number 7 overall 2 years ago? Eddie Royal, the guy just can't stay healthy. You know, he's a clear candidate to be waived or to be released after this year, right? Just because he can't stay in the field, he's owed $5 million next year. Why keep him on the roster? Cameron Meredith and Daniel Braverman, I think, are the only players at receiver under contract for next season. I think Josh Bellamy. I think he might be an RFA, Deontay Thompson. I mean, he's a kick returner. Again, but you're talking about guys who are your sixth or seventh receivers to begin with. So that position could be overhauled here. I mean, you're honestly looking at having your top three receivers be Kevin White, Cameron Meredith, and Daniel Braverman if you walk away from Alshon Jeffrey and Eddie Royal. I mean, that's quite a predicament for the Bears. It really is. It creates a whole world of unknowns out there for them.
Yeah, it does. All right, so we kind of got to speed through this stuff. We're a little shorter on time this week as we do this. So my big question, sort of with Alshon, but is really more about the connection between Matt Barkley and Alshon Jeffrey. Does Alshon Jeffrey's presence change the dynamic of this offense, which is Barkley showing some potential, but really not being able to trust any of his wide receivers? So that's my big question there. And then also, Aaron Rodgers' health. I mean, how restricted is he with this calf injury? It doesn't seem like the defensive players are really buying that it's going to change things here, but you've got the cold weather, which can impact, you know, a soft tissue injury, and Aaron Rodgers needs to be mobile to be fully Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's still talented. He's still unbelievable. I think he's the most talented quarterback in the league. I'm not saying he's the best of all time, but in terms of pure talent, he has everything, but part of that talent is his mobility. So does that restrict him? Those are my two big questions in this game.
And my second one would be just who handles the cold better? And I know Green Bay has a lot of history with games like this, but at least in my opinion, I think situations like this kind of favor the home team. You got your own locker room. You know, everybody's familiar with everything that's going on in that stadium, right? Where things are. You know what's going on in your sideline, you know where the heaters are and stuff like that. So, look, I think with Aaron Rodgers' calf injury, I honestly think, you know, this cold may come out to favor the Bears in the long run here.
All right, my bold prediction. We don't have our Sounders this week, so I apologize for that. But bold prediction, Leonard Floyd adds two more sacks to his total, getting up to 9 with 2 games to go. And he also forces a fumble.
I like it. So let me go off that. Let me top you with this one. Let me give you my game prediction as well.
Okay.
I still think it's kind of bold since it's a 5.5 spread here. I like the Bears in this one.
Wow.
It may be a total gut pick. Maybe it's me not completely buying into this Packers resurgence. Look, I know they're healthier in the secondary. I know Aaron Rodgers is playing significantly better over the past 3 weeks, which have been all 3 wins, you know, for the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, the Bears are hanging in games. I think eventually luck's going to go their way. Maybe it's a cold, frigid day against their rivals. So give me the Bears in this one. Bold prediction, game prediction. Bears 20-17.
Wow, that is bold. And it's, okay, let me be honest with you. When the Bears game ended last week, I had this thought in my head. I kind of think they're going to beat the Packers next week. Then I saw what the Packers did to the Seahawks, and I said, "Nope, never mind." And I changed my mind.
Wilson was like a high school quarterback throwing it up for not. I mean, you watch that game, 5 interceptions. Look, I know he was better last night against the Rams, but you and I are better last night against the Rams. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but what it was, Adam, was really the way this defense is playing recently, which is really...
I know, they got their 2 top corners back. I get it. But like, 5 interceptions, that's a lot of that's got to be on the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I like how this Packers defense is playing. As you know, I just think it's going to be another game where the Bears are moving the football and not able to get in the end zone. So I think the Bears will be competitive again. I do think the Packers win. And in fact, I think they actually cover this 5.5 too, maybe just barely. So I'm going to say Packers 19, Bears 13. Just above that 5.5, Packers win by 6. So we're going to differ on that, and that leads us to a good transition into our picks, which I don't really want to talk about, to be honest with you. Can we just? I think we should just end doing. We shouldn't do picks the rest of the year at this point.
I wish I could like do a Joker laugh you know, from one of the Batman movies, because it's so fitting right now.
Well, you have been saying all year it's how you finish, and you are finishing unbelievably strong. 19-7 over the last 3 weeks with your picks. You have now officially taken the lead over me by one game.
That's right.
In our picks.
That's right.
Although we have been on fire with our Bears picks the last 4 weeks, I think. But we're going to be differing on this one, so one of us is going to be wrong with the Bears game. And that's going to start us off here. We kind of got to go rapid fire this week with these picks. So we'll be quick. We'll start with the Lions at Giants. A very good game between two good teams. Packers definitely need the Lions to lose this game. Giants are a 4-point favorite in New York, and this is a noon game on Fox.
Give me the Giants. I think Matthew Stafford's injured right middle finger is going to be more of a problem than they let on. I think the Giants could have for a bit, maybe aggravate that finger. Give me the Giants, even giving up the points.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you here. Maybe I'm putting a little bit too much on last week's game, but wasn't all that impressed with the Lions. I still think the Packers are – I don't know if the Packers can catch the Lions, but I think they're the team – I think they're the best team in the NFC North. I've kind of thought that all along. Except maybe at the beginning of the season when I still thought the Vikings could be competitive. But once you saw that offensive line implode, it really was – despite the Packers' struggles, I still felt like they were probably the most complete team. So we'll see how this unfolds the last few weeks, but I think the Lions do lose this game. All right, moving on. Speaking of the Vikings, they'll be hosting the Colts. -4 is the spread here. Vikings are 4-point favorite at home against Indianapolis. Tough spread here.
Yeah. Look, give me the Colts. I don't know why. I think they have a tough loss last week. I forget against who. I just think the tough loss kind of rings in my memory here. I'm not a big believer in the Vikings anymore. I lost faith in them actually when they lost the Bears several weeks ago. A lot of holes on that team. Not as good as everybody thought they were. Yes, their defense is still stout in many areas, but... Colts getting 4, right? Getting 4.
Yeah, they're getting 4 here. They're an extremely hard team to understand, Indianapolis. They've been all over the place. They did have a bad loss last week. They've had good wins. They seem like they're on track. Then they stumble again. Now they're talking about coaching changes again and big changes over there. I don't trust either of these teams, and so with the 4 points going towards the Colts, I'm just going to take Indianapolis. To be safe is really where I'm going here. If this was a game that I was actually betting on, I wouldn't go anywhere near it, anywhere near this game. All right, this is just a fun game I wanted to get in here because of the context around it. It's an awful game. It's the Cleveland Browns at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are a 10-point favorite here. A lot of people think this might be the first game the Browns win all season. And the Bills players are coming out saying, no, there's no way. They're guaranteeing victory even though they suck too. Their coach might get fired. I mean, I just love the hilarity, the fun bad aspect of this football game. And 10 points is a lot.
Yeah, Super Bowl of bad here. I wouldn't touch this game if I was putting some real money on it. Give me the Browns at 10 points. Rex Ryan's team's really self-imploding there. Everybody knows he's going to be gone after this season. Just been a horrendous mess up there. Quickly in 2 years, has it for the Bills? I don't like the 10 points. The Browns are really atrocious, but you know what? Give me the Browns. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they can cover.
Yeah, I'm going Browns here too. 10 points is a ton in the NFL, especially against a bad team too. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm picking the Cleveland Browns. Probably the first time we've done that all year. All right, then we go to the late afternoon game, Patriots at Broncos, 325 on CBS. It seems like these teams always play, even though they're not in the same division. They're always playing each other. Of course, there's playoff games there too. But the Broncos are a 3-point underdog at home against the Patriots. The Patriots, all right, this speaks to the success you've had recently because you locked up the Ravens last week on the road in New England. the Patriots were blowing them out, or at least looked like they were on their way to doing so, and then fumbled the ball twice on special teams, and all of a sudden the Ravens get back in this thing, and that ends up being a push.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
So you can't even lose. Like, you didn't even win, but you didn't lose.
Did you see my guy, Shay McClellan, jump over that long snapper and beautifully block that field goal attempt by Justin Tucker, who I think that was his first miss of the year. Did you see that, my friend?
Yeah, congratulations to him, okay?
He's not a superstar out there, but they've made him into something.
He's a guy.
He knew what was going to happen.
He's a guy. That's what he is.
He wasn't a guy here, so that's a step up, right?
Oh, you're admitting that. Okay.
Anyway, give me Shay Mack and the Patriots minus -3.
Shay Mack. I'm going with Shay Mack too here. Patriots are just hard to bet against. Although you locked up their opponent last week. Unbelievable. Okay,
yeah.
And then the Sunday night game. Interesting game. This one got flexed. I don't think that when we were in Tampa, a little over a month ago, that we thought the Buccaneers would be playing a meaningful game in Dallas in Week 15. But here we are. This is the Sunday nighter. The Buccaneers are going to be on primetime. They're getting their exposure. The Cowboys are all of a sudden going through a weird quarterback controversy because their owner can't shut his mouth. And they're a 7-point favorite, though, still a full touchdown and an extra point here, favorite over the Buccaneers. So who are you going with?
Give me Jameis Winston and make this my lock of the week.
Wow.
You know why? Because I've been saying forever that there'd be some point in time where Dak Prescott looks like a rookie, right? These defenses will figure him out. That offensive line, as exceptional as it is, will hit rough points at some point. It's just to be expected. That's the life in the NFL. Nothing's going to be that perfectly glorious all season long. And they're hitting the rough patch at an awful time of year. They're running into a red-hot Tampa Bay team. Jameis Winston can sling it with the best of them. Give me Winston and the Bucs getting 7 points. Yeah, give me that all day.
All right, now last time I checked, the Buccaneers are not the Giants, which is the only team that's been able to slow down the Cowboys this year. Just for fun, I'm going to lock up the Cowboys to go up against you here, create a huge Sunday night matchup between the two of us. I think the Cowboys bounce back. I think reality hits for Tampa, and the Cowboys cover the 7 points. Lock it up. All righty, just to have fun, because we usually do college picks, the college bowl games are awful this weekend. I'm not even going to turn them on, and usually I will. We're going to have a little bit of fun with our picks really, really quickly here because we got to get going. We have the Stag Bowl tonight, Friday night, 6 o'clock on ESPNU. This is the Division III championship game. It's Mary Hardin Baylor versus UW Oshkosh. I know nothing about these two teams. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about these two teams, but I do know that UW Oshkosh beat my cousin's team, St. John's, a couple weeks ago in the playoffs, knocked them out. So I got to give respect to my cousin's opponent. I'm going to say UW Oshkosh wins the championship.
Yeah, I'll take UW Oshkosh. I know they're a power. And look, I was recruited to go to a Division III, kind of a minor power in St. Norbert's. And as good as they were, we all know who the big dogs are in D3 football. It's Mount Union, St. John's, and UW Oshkosh. And look, Oshkosh gets a lot of kids in the Chicago area, so let's go with that.
I think you're thinking of Whitewater, though, aren't you?
No, I am thinking of Whitewater. Oshkosh is good too, though.
Oshkosh is good. They're kind of resurgent, but I think in terms of the powers, you're thinking of Whitewater.
Yes, I am thinking of Whitewater.
And this is amazing that neither of those two teams, Mount Union or Whitewater, are in the championship this year. I think it's the first time in 11 years Mount Union has not been in the Stag Bowl. Which is astonishing. And I can't remember who they lost to, so I'm not going to make it up. But they did lose a couple weeks ago, which was surprising. All right. Then tomorrow we have the Division II championship game. This one being played between North Alabama and Northwest Missouri State. This one is on ESPN2. I believe it's a 7 o'clock game. I lost my thing here. Hang on. 3 o'clock Saturday on ESPN2, North Alabama versus Northwest Missouri State. Again, I have no clue. I don't know anything about these teams. You go first.
give me Northwest Missouri State, just right. Because longer name.
I'll go with North Alabama then.
All right.
So you and I can spend our Saturday watching this game. Which
I just might.
Definitely not going to do. I usually do watch the Stag Bowl, though. So anyway. Alrighty, that's going to wrap things up for us on this edition of Intentional Grounding, episode 72, the William Refrigerator Perry episode. How was the closet? Is it good? Is it how he left it?
It is. I got interrupted once. We're all good, though.
Okay. Who was it?
I don't know what type of vibe. It was JD, our friend from ESPN.
Oh, yeah. He uses the closet, too. Yeah.
Yes. It's the most popular spot in the old media room here. So.
Yeah. I think we should actually start renting it out, to be honest. All right, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and the podcast at INT, Grounding Pod. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Search Intentional Grounding to find the podcast and subscribe for free on iTunes. We'll be back Sunday after the Bears-Packers game with our post-game episode. Johnsy's picking the Bears in an upset, surprisingly. I'm going the opposite way. We'll see how it all plays out. We will talk to you on Sunday.